I leaned very heavily this week on Swindoll book because he had a whole different look on it. I wish I had read it last summer and it made my questions a little different, but it's so good. What I'll do is I'll just pass it on to you. Be a help to everybody. Father, we thank you again for your precious word. We pray that you would speak to each of our hearts, Lord. We need to hear from you. We need to have your word in our hearts so that we can move ahead, we can move on. Lord, we need to hear your voice. And we just ask that you'd be our teacher and our guide, that you would be all that you want to be in our lives. We so often carry burdens around and heartaches and heaviness that all should be put upon your altar, Lord, and that we would pray over it and watch you do miracles. And we need some miracles in a few ladies in this class, Lord. They desperately need your touch and need to sense your presence. And we just ask that you might be all sufficient for them and for us. But we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. On October 10th, this is from the Living Bible. I'm going to read some from that. No problem, you can read out of anything you want. But know that the questions were based on the New King James. So if you're lost in your translations, be sure to have a New King James handy. On October 10th, the people returned for another observance. This time they fasted and clothed themselves with sackcloth and sprinkled dirt in their hair. Now, why would people go to that trouble of putting dirt in their hair and burlap clothes? Well, good night, that's what we make our bags out of. That's goat's hair. We take goat's hair and make bags. You can see us now at Safeway with all those goat's bags. And you'll say, be careful, they're itchy. Anyway, just a thought. And dust on your heads, do we really need that? So we realize that in those days, that was an example of repentance, death, thoughts of sin, and you dress that way to impress God. No, not to impress God. You can't impress him any way, shape, or form. But they had gathered at the wall for prayer. They were having a tough time with their sin nature. And this is why they got together that and dressed that way. They were mourning over it. So it really demonstrated a condition of the heart. You know, if you're in a place of mourning, you've lost a husband, or you've there's been a bad accident, or some close friend died, it's hard because that's the last thing you want to do is dress or dress up. You don't even think about it. You put it on an old t-shirt and jeans and try to face the day. It's you get it in your clothes. So just when you come across something like this, you can look at it that way. So they had gathered at the wall and demonstrating the condition of their hearts. They gathered for the purpose of prayer as a community, and they began with 3 solid hours of worship. Now, if you went to church, I have to do this. If you went to church on Sunday, and the pastor says, we're going to have 3 hours of worship, I wonder how many people would stay. Well, the Raiders are playing this afternoon, or there's some baseball game. Probably lose me. And 6 hours. And here's the thing that is the kicker, I have to say, is that when they confessed their sins, they did it to each other. Oh. I agree with you. I don't think I'd want to do that to each other. Oh, my. So they really grieved over sin. You can see why. I can just see a friend of mine. Well, you ought to be crying over that. No, we don't take it too seriously, do we? And that's part of our bigger problem. But Chuck Swindoll came across this thing of directional prayer. I just missed it altogether last summer. He has four directions, and I thought it was really interesting, so this is why I'm going to pass it on to you. And the first one is looking up, and that is taken out of 5 and 6, and again, this is out of the Living. Then the Levite leaders called out to the people, "Stand up and praise the Lord your God, for he lives from everlasting to everlasting. Praise his glorious name. It is far greater than we can think or say." How true that is. Then the leaders are mentioned. And Ezra prayed, "You alone are God. You made the skies and the heavens and the earth and the seas and everything in them. You preserve it all. And all the angels of heaven worship you." And I was thinking about God's preservation, and I remember there was this awful-looking fish. They said that was a million years old, and so on and so on. And then some fishermen caught it off the coast of South America. And they said it couldn't be possible, you know, for this to happen, because he's been extinct for 1,000 years. I love that. I just love that. Anyway, and I just like the idea that God takes care of it all. You ever think about that? Ever thank him for that? I was just going to say that on the National Geographic that just came out, there's quite an article about Earth. Of course, they miss God of the Earth and the creator of the Earth, but it'll stir your heart. It will really well. It's from astronauts, and that's the name of the National Geographic. It's got a woman astronaut on it. Very, very interesting. And I just love it when science is so interesting. So Chuck Swindoll says, looking up. And I love this because I don't always do this. It says, the Jews opened their prayer as all prayer should begin with praises. And I was thinking about this morning, sometimes, you know, the clock presses you, and I think, I didn't open with praises. You know, that's, need to work on that. So, is that the thought that you're stroking God's ego? Hardly. There was a great comment in here. The Jews opened their prayer in praise, and the idea is put your own thoughts aside. No wish list. And so often we go to prayer with a list of things that we need done, and we forget who he is. And I thought that was important. Not because he needs it. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need our praises. But he invites us to give praise back to him. It's not because God needs it. It's because we need it. And he invites us into that kind of worship. This is not about stroking God's ego. He invites our worship, but he needs nothing from us. A great statement. You'll hear somebody say, well, you just praise the Lord all the time. Well, yeah, he deserves it. Not because he wants it or needs it, but I do. So, well, the second one is another one I challenged myself this week from Chuck Swindoll. It's looking back. First, we're looking up, praise, looking back. And he said, oh, yeah, that's a horribly long section about Israel, and I don't care about all their history. But then I thought about it, and I thought how interesting it is that by looking back, I took a lot of verses going back into their history. And it's challenged me in my own life to look back where I was and where I've come. And I got all that way down there to go. But and how it's changed our family and how we have missionaries coming out of our family. We have a missionary surgeon that wants to go to a specific mission in Africa, and with her two little ones and her husband. And I think that probably would never happen. And I keep, anyway, it was an interesting week. Go back and look what God has done in your life. There should be change. And certainly there's been a lot of change in our life. So that's what this was. This was a review of Israel's history, focusing on what God had done. And I think, didn't it stand out to you, his faithfulness over and over again, and his loving kindness? As I had told you when we were back in Daniel, I would have just blitzed them all for all their disobedience. God was so merciful, and he keeps working with them. Well, he's still working with them today, although they just don't know it. One day, the Spirit of God will fall upon Israel. There'll be 144,000 missionaries, and they're going to do the job that the church didn't finish. And the third one is looking in. That's a directional prayer, looking in. And that is all of this part here I have down. You have dealt faithfully. We have acted wickedly. You keep covenant. You know, go back into looking within. Amazing God we have. Have you ever noticed that? Looking back and then looking within. What a gracious and merciful God you are. And now, O great and awesome God, you who keep promise, love, and kindness, do not let all the hardships we have gone through become as nothing, and prophets and ancestors from the days when the kings went after us. Every time you punished us, you were perfectly fair. We have sinned so greatly that you gave us only what we deserved. And I thought that was great because they were looking within. So often, if we're going through some trial, we don't see it as discipline or maybe a change in direction, but we see it as, oh, why did God let that happen? And he's allowed it to happen for some good reasons. So they sat down and they started worshiping the Lord. Can you imagine? And confessing sin. Let me give you a list in English of the covenant that they made. It said, first of all, they promised God they wouldn't. Well, this is actually the fourth division here. It's called looking ahead. And I don't do that very much. I don't look ahead. And this challenged me this week. I guess that's why I plopped right into it. They first promised they wouldn't marry heathens. And everyone sitting here today knowing perfectly well if they've married a heathen, just how difficult that is. And the second part of that covenant was to observe the Sabbath. Of course, they didn't do that. The next one, observe every seventh year as the sabbatical year or Sabbath year. I like that because they take the year off. I could take a whole year off, really. But can you imagine how hard that would be to do, to take a whole year off? Oh, we're just not put together like that. But the Jews weren't put together that way and didn't do it. No sabbatical years. That's why they got taken off to Babylon, because they didn't observe the Sabbath years. So the Lord did that to let the land rest. I mean, you couldn't even pick fruit off the vine, or you couldn't apples or anything else. It had to lie fallow. Then the fourth was to pay the temple tax. I like that. But in order for the temple to keep running, there were certain things they would have to buy if they weren't given. And I just wanted to interject here with no extra charge that the shekel was the form of money back in Nehemiah's day. Now, you know, and before, you know how old that is, and that died out. But in the 80s, I believe, I meant to look this up, sorry, but it's roughly in the 1980s, the shekel system came back into Israel. And I remember getting, when my son was there, I remember getting off the bus. There were some coins on the ground, and I went over to pick them up. And my son grabbed me and says, "Mom, don't touch those." And I said, "Why? You know, money's money." He said they could blow your fingers off.
Oh.
That was one way that some of their enemies would get at them. So I didn't pick them up. But that was good information from him. Anyway, the whole country went back into the shekel system. That's never happened in any country where they've gone back to 1,500, 2,500 years ago, and now they're on that old system. However, today they don't. For 5 years they called it the shekel system. Today I believe it's called the old, the new shekel system. And then just to toss in this is Hebrew was a dead language. And when they started coming back into the land, they decided they wanted to unify everyone with Hebrew. So I don't know if that will be the language we'll speak in heaven, but of course the Jews feel, and that is their language. It was dead and it's been revived. No, Aramaic is not a part of that. Okay, that's just a little extra blurb I was thinking about last night. Let's see, what else? Oh, supply wood for the burnt offerings in the temple. I thought that was kind of interesting, too. But you see, wood was scarce. And let me just blow your minds a little bit. I did read someplace where they felt that Jesus was a mason rather than a carpenter. I had to read the whole thing to find out, but it was because wood was so scarce. And you can challenge that. You can go study it and find out and prove me wrong. That's great. And then the next one was, can't read it. Burn offerings for the temple and then give dues to the temple. Then after years of decadence in exile, the people once again began to take seriously their responsibility to God, pledging to follow him and his laws. That's what this covenant's all about. They had been in exile. They didn't even have a land. And so now this is what they're looking to. And then Chuck Swindoll, the fourth one is looking ahead. Have you asked the Lord to guide you on your best path? You know, nothing you think, oh, this is such a waste of time. But when you begin to really look into it, whatever you're doing, he's going to be there and he's going to guide you if you ask him. And isn't that what you want? I thought so often we make all of our decisions according in all of our plans and everything else, and we want to make it real easy. And God wants us to take that very seriously. So those are the four things: looking up, looking back, looking in, and looking ahead. And I just wanted to pass that on to you because that was something I hadn't even noticed as I was studying last summer, especially that one with looking back because it took so long. You know, that's a wonderful history of Israel right there in Nehemiah's book. So if you ever want a minuscule history, there you have it. And I think that's just great. God is still busy with his people. I think Chuck had quite an idea there with those four. I know you'd like me to read all those names that that signed the covenant. But see, I have fun time with that, because when you sign a covenant, in those days they had a ring with a seal on it. So I'm sitting at home thinking, look how many people signed that covenant. They had blops all over it. I could just see all of their names. But an amazing thing, and those names are so important to God. Don't forget that. Your name, you're precious to Him. You're so important. So look to that. Well, I hope you got something out of that, because I had a tough time with this lesson. Anyway, Father, we thank you for again for Nehemiah. When we think about how he was a cupbearer and he became this great man of God, you certainly know how to pick somebody. And where we lose sight of that, and yet that was his training. And he was so submissive to you. He never blew up. He had time, and he took time, and became the man that you wanted him to become, a prayer warrior. Lord, that's all you ask each of us, is to lift our families, our family members to you, to pray extra hard where they're perhaps gone astray, and to know that even if we passed away today, that you hear those prayers, and those prayers always go on, and that you will bring them into the fold. Well, we don't know how, but we're so grateful you're a miracle-working God, and we've seen it here through Nehemiah. Thank you for such a person. Now I pray for these ladies here, Lord, and people especially like Nancy Christensen, who broke her hip this week. Well, we have a lot of problems, and we ask for comfort for her, especially for the fact she's stage 4 cancer. It's a lot, Lord. It's a lot to have all of those things, and yet you get our attention so beautifully. Bless these ladies, Lord, and if their families don't know you, help them not to get discouraged, because you know all about it. You know all about where you're taking them. And if they don't, we ask you to take us and care for us and strengthen us. Lord, we need your strength. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.